With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, it's John Givens with a cup of tea, and I'm joined by Dave Carouche. And we're in his garden for a couple of reasons. First of all, obviously, current climate, it's the safest place to be at the moment. Well, not just Dave's garden particularly, but just outside, just being outside. But also, we're in front of a fantastic Jordan Henderson mural, which, if you are a Liverpool fan, you will have seen done by Axie, who's obviously the guy who did our Trent one as well, but sat in front of it. And I mean, we'll start with that, Dave. It's fantastic. You must be made up with it.
Yeah, absolutely delighted. It's a work of art. I wanted to do something to, you know, when we won the league, there was a time when I didn't think we might win the league. Certainly with all the null and voiders out there that that wanted it null and voided. So once I'd got in touch with them and I said, you know, if we win the league, I want you to do this for me. And that's how it started. And then we just sort of, via emails. And then the night when it was confirmed, I was right back on him saying, I want to go ahead with this. We need to, when can you fit me in type thing? And fortunately, it was about 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
It's great opening the blinds every morning, seeing him. He weathers well. It looks exactly like the day it was done. Just perfect.
No, it's absolutely brilliant, and it looks great in your garden. And as you say, you get to look out every morning and remember that Liverpool are champions, which isn't bad.
Superb. It'll be here as long as I'm here. Hopefully we'll add to it a few more times.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. In terms of the reason why it's here, we've, I guess, got to go all the way back to why you're a Liverpool fan, I guess, because, you know, obviously, you know, it's bitten you pretty hard to have something like this in your garden. So I think people would be interested to know sort of your journey as a Liverpool supporter.
I was fortunate that my dad was a big Red, and he started taking me the game. Initially it was when his mates couldn't go, so I was going on season tickets that were going spare, and I just got the love for it. And if there wasn't a ticket, you know, he'd ring me from work and say there might be a chance of a ticket, Ian. And then sometimes, last minute, going, oh no, sorry about that, it's fell through. And I was absolutely gutted. So as soon as I was probably about the age 13, I got a season ticket for the Cop, and I used to go myself. And I'd leave this house the night games, and my mum was always saying, oh, I'm terrified, are you going? Because my mates didn't really go. So I'd get the train from Crosby Station to Bank Hall and walk down Orwell Road across the field. Little chip shop on Orwell Road. And it was just brilliant. And then we were going the away games with my dad and his mates. There was probably about eight of us that were going the away games. And then as my dad got a bit older, he stopped the away games, and I carried on with a couple of people, and we'd go, on average, I might miss four away games a season.
Wow.
We went everywhere. I think my best record was 2000-2001, where I went to, bar the first round of the UEFA Cup, because I was on holiday, I went to all the other rounds, obviously the final in Dortmund. Just brilliant, you know, brilliant. It's just great memories.
I mean, that's some commitment that year, because there was, what, 67 games did we play or something?
Yeah, and I think I did 63 that year. I think I missed four all competitions. That's the best that I've ever done. Credit carded myself up to death, though, I've got to be honest. But, you know, when I look back, I wouldn't change any of it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, because that season, you know, I mean, we've had some great times as Liverpool fans, and we were fortunate. But that season was great. It did feel like we were back, and obviously quite poignant, really. We lost Gerard Houllier in the last couple of weeks. Remembering what he did for this football club, you don't have to think hard, because it's that season, isn't it? All them trophies and all them brilliant nights.
He started us back to where we are. He started it, the turnaround. It was, he definitely, you know, deserves a lot of credit for, you know, the transformation, really.
Mm.
No, absolutely. You know, it was an unbelievable season.
So you mentioned your dad at the top. You know, it was him who sort of got you into it. Obviously, you know, when you're doing 63 games, you're going with all sorts of different people. But is your dad sort of stayed a sort of constant throughout that?
Yeah, my dad. He stopped the away games, but he hadn't missed a final. And that was where the story of Madrid. The last one we both went together was Kiev, and there was a story behind that because he left his phone in the hotel, if you could call it a hotel. It was a bit rough there, like, and he left his phone, and we'd gone had a few drinks before the match, and then we got separated, and I realised he had me ticket, and I thought, I just can't believe this, because I struggled. Well, he struggled to get one in the end. I qualified in the ballot, and I couldn't find him. There was just, you couldn't get anywhere near the ground. And the next thing, I get a phone call off my mum. He'd managed to borrow somebody's phone, and he knew my mum's number but didn't know my number.
Brilliant.
And he said, tell him to stay there. I'm on my way to this place. And literally 5 minutes before kickoff, he turned up, and I was on the phone to my wife going, I can't believe this, all the struggles. I was nearly crying. They were all laughing at me because you know, it was quite an emotional thing, and I'm not gonna get in of the money I'd paid to get there,
of course. Yeah.
And then I couldn't get the ticket for we didn't qualify in the ballot, both of us, and a good mate of mine did and wasn't going to go.
Just for Madrid?
For Madrid. And he rang me on the Thursday night, and he said, look, there's a ticket here if you want it. Anyway, I was absolutely made up, but I didn't sleep that night because my dad hadn't missed. And I don't know, I just woke up the next day. I rung him on the Thursday night, and I said, I've got a ticket here, you know. And he went, oh, I'm pleased for you, I'm made up for you and all that. But I could tell he sounded up. Disappointed,
yeah,
but made up for me at the same time. So the next morning, I spoke to my friend and I said, listen, I said, would you mind if I give this to my dad? My dad was 70. 70. I said, you know, he hasn't missed. Do you mind? And he went, well, no, if that's what you want to do. So I rang my dad, and I knew if I said to him, well, I do want to go, but I want you to go, he'd insist on me going. So I just clenched my teeth and I said, I can't afford it. And he went, okay, if you don't want to go, then yeah, I'll go. And, you know, little did I know that in the November of last year, he would tragically pass away. So it was the best decision that I made. I was made up, you know. Saw him the next morning when he'd come back. He'd gone on the day trip, and he was asleep in the chair when I got round, and I said, come on, are we going to go and have a few drinks in my mate's bar and toast our success? And my mum said, oh, he's tired, he's only just got back. She said, oh, maybe it might do me good, you know, so, you know, I'll sleep tonight. And that was it. And the pictures with the European Cup that are on my Twitter, you know, so, yeah, it was the best decision. I was gutted for myself, but
yeah,
the way things have worked out, it was really the right decision.
And it must have felt like nice payback for all those times he'd been, you know, trying to get tickets for you. You mentioned before he's ringing around, he's speaking to people in work or whatever, trying to get you a ticket. It must have felt like, well, I've given something back to him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my dad had quite a few contacts back in the day, and we never went without tickets. And, you know, I got quite a few of my friends' tickets, you know, for games, because when he would put the feelers out, as he called it, for tickets, and people would come last minute and go, I've got you two tickets, and he'd never ever turn them down because he thought they might ask me again if I let them down last minute. So we always managed to we'd always use them, and the fact that he'd always looked after me with tickets and me friends for that matter, it was nice payback.
So as you mentioned, you lost your dad last November, sort of around this time, well, a little bit before, sort of the last year in this championship season. And
it was hard. It was hard because I was 50 in the September, and my wife took me to Marbella just for the weekend. And literally the week before we were going, we took my mum to the hospital. She hadn't been eating, and the diagnosis wasn't good. I found that out on my 50th birthday from Marbella, that there was nothing they could do. And 4 weeks later, she passed. My dad, really strong person all through his life, but he was really struggling with it. And we'd gone out on the Saturday. We'd had a couple of drinks, and I shook his hand. I left him about 6:30 with my brother-in-law. He said he was just going to have another pint and then he was going to come home. And I said, I'll pick you up tomorrow for Man City to go the game. And unfortunately, on that Sunday, we couldn't get hold of him. And he'd had an accident at home. And obviously, I never went to the City game. But obviously, that day, we absolutely battered them. And we never looked back, you know. But I can remember watching the game and had tears coming down my eyes because I just thought, you know, less than 24 hours before, we'd make arrangements to go and see it, you know, go together. We went everywhere together. So it was hard. Yeah.
Yeah, and I know you've mentioned me to before, the 30-year wait as well is something that you and your dad had always talked about. You know, is it going to happen? I mean, it's something that all Liverpool fans talk about, you know, or did talk about anyway. You know, are we going to do it? And yous were the same, really.
Yeah, I was always quite optimistic, and my dad had sort of put my feet back on the ground, saying, well, you know, we've got to, it just depends, you know. And I said, well, we've started well, and we've had a few false dawns. You know, obviously, a couple of years previous, we very nearly won it, and there was, after that we thought, oh, we're going to get a better chance. And you know, I don't know if we were 4 points ahead when we played City. I can't remember. Last November, obviously we beat them, and then we just didn't look back. We flew. Yeah. And I said that in my surprise video with Jordan Henderson, which I still smile when I even think about it, because it's unbelievable that it happened to me, like, you know.
Yeah, it's for that season now, then, you know, it must have felt quite sort of bittersweet, because, you know, Liverpool are running away with it. They're doing this thing that, you know, we'd all dreamed about for 30 years, but you're not getting to celebrate it with him. You're not getting to sort of enjoy it with him, really. And so, you know, obviously, you know, it's a range of emotions, and I know it's difficult to sort of to put in words, but it must have been, you know, you're delighted, but you so want to sort of share that with the person you've shared so much of this football club with.
Yeah, it was bittersweet. I think was it Chelsea played Man City when we were when they slipped up.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was sat in the garden. It was a nice evening. They had the TV on in the conservatory, and obviously it was made up. And then we, you know, when it come to the realization, we'd done it, and you know, photographing my dad with the European Cup, and I had a little moment. So I went in. I had a can of lager, and I said, we've done it, you know.
Yeah.
It was bittersweet. Obviously, made up that we won it, but at the same time, I kept saying, "But my dad hasn't seen it." My wife was saying, "Well, yeah, he is seeing it." And depending on what you believe, I hope he is. But you know, we'll never know. But yeah, it was bittersweet. Yeah.
So, when you mentioned the call there from Jordan, sort of, when was that exactly? It's hard to remember what's happened this year.
Yeah, it was. I know exactly when it was, because it was Good Friday, and I remember it was during the lockdown.
Yeah.
And we were the highlight of our day was taking the dog down to Crosby Beach, and we were going to do that. And I remember, and I think I said that in the video. I woke up that day and I thought it was still raw. It was about four months after me. Mum and dad, 5 months after mum and dad passed, and I thought, Good Friday, there's nothing good about this Friday. And that's actually what I remembered thinking to myself, nothing good about this Friday. And we were on the beach walking with the dog, and she's saying to me, you look a bit scruffy, you need a shave, and all this. And I'm thinking, we're not going anywhere. You know, she was going to play bingo in the close, because where we used to live before I moved in here, and we had a little close, like, and we started playing socially distanced bingo just to get through the boredom. And anyway, we got back from the dog, and I'm sitting there, she said, you know, got to get changed, have a shower, and I'm like, yeah, all right, I'll do it in a minute, we're not doing anything. So shower, and she'd been doing something for my sister, saying that I was working from home, and I never thought anything of it. And she said she was helping her with she had a Zoom call next week, and I thought, she doesn't know anything about computers, but you just didn't think.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was sat in the garden, Good Friday afternoon. Next thing, she says, Dave, can you help me with this? You know, needs. So I got literally goes upstairs to the bedroom, sits down, And you could probably, for those of you who've seen the video, you can probably see my face. I look proper miserable. And I know I did. And I just looking at the thing, all right, Chris, all right. And the next thing, in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen, a window opened. And it was Jordan Henderson. And I'm smiling now. Because I thought, it's my brother-in-law. I thought, he's winding me up here. It's one of them things where you say something and I just thought, this isn't happening. And the next thing, Jordan Henderson's talking to me in my bedroom. And I'm like, and I could see me two children and my wife all sort of giggling on the landing. And I was like a schoolboy. I was just, didn't know what to say, didn't know. And he was absolutely fantastic. He was just, you know, it was brilliant. And that was all thanks to Nivea Men. They arranged that for me. I didn't have a clue about that. There was nothing rehearsed about it. Absolutely not. I didn't have a clue. And as I say, what I thought was not a good Friday turned out to be an absolutely unbelievable Friday. And I'm talking to you now, John. Still can't believe it.
Yeah. No, that's coming across. How was Jordan then? Because we've only obviously seen what goes into the video. I'm sure you were talking to him for a lot longer than that. It's interesting because, interesting is probably not the right word, but, you know, he come close to losing his father. I know his dad, you know, was obviously there for the Real Madrid, which is incredible. But did you sense for him that he really sort of understood what you'd gone through? Because that come across to me.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. There was nothing. He's just a... He's just a really nice fella. You could tell, you know, the things he was saying to me and that. And obviously, you know, it's apparent that he's very close to his dad. So I think whether that was why he was chosen to do it, I don't know. But there was a lot more. I've got, my daughter did get some little unseen footage. She wasn't the best filmer, to be honest with you. Like, the camera was pointing at the thing, but he was just absolutely brilliant. I can't say. You know, enough good things about him. Great captain, brilliant person off the pitch as well, you know.
It's amazing to see how he has grown into this captain's role, because, you know, we remember, you know, when he got taken on, I think all of us were a bit, oh, are you sure about this? You know, he wasn't a guaranteed starter at Liverpool. I don't think at that point, you know, he was still quite a young lad, and obviously following Stevie is almost impossible, isn't it? To see how he's grown, you know, forget about a footballer for a second, you know, he's a brilliant footballer, but how he's grown as a person and as a leader and as someone who, you know, how he is with the supporters and everything, it's phenomenal, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I as you touched on there, John, you know, when we got him, I think it's fair to say the jury was out for a few people, you know. I remember there was like arguments about, you know, he does this, but I always used to say to people, when he's not playing, you just realise some of the things he used to do, some of the things when he didn't have the ball. You know, you take it for granted. And I think, you know, I think I said to him in the video, I think, you know, you not just because he you know, took time out to contact me, but he was definitely one of the players of the season for us. He was just absolutely phenomenal. Brilliant. And obviously all the stuff he did off the pitch with the managers and all of that stuff as well. He's just proved himself what a top fella he is.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. So since then, what's happened since, I guess that's what people would be interested in. So obviously there's this wonderful mural behind us. I know there's loads of interest in it, people messaging to come over and see it and things like that.
Well, the mural came about, we moved into me late mum and dad's house. I decided I couldn't really bear the thought of walking down this road knowing there was somebody else in there, so we decided that we were going to sell up and move in here. And that's what we did, and we were sat, I think we moved in on the 1st of May, and there wasn't a great deal to do other than a few cans or a few glasses of wine in the garden. So we were sat in the conservatory, me and my wife, and she was staring at the wall, and she said, we need to get a bit of paint on that. And I don't know, I had a couple of drinks, I just started thinking, I thought, maybe we could do something a little bit better. And then I started Googling, because I didn't know who'd done the Trent mural. Obviously commissioned by the Anfield Rap. And I found out who'd done it. I contacted him via Twitter. He said probably better email him, so I emailed him, and it started from there. He asked me what I wanted, and I told him, I said I want the words "We always believe," because to me you know, it summed it up perfectly. I had to have the words. I'd had it in my head what I wanted, and I never sort of deviated from that. And I said to him, obviously, I've got to wait and see if we win it because of all the null and voiders and all that. And once we'd won it, then I got him round here. And actually, absolute artist, phenomenal what he does with you know, spray cans and a mobile phone. Absolutely. It just looks like a painting, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it just looks like a painting.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely incredible. And hopefully one day, Jordan will come round. I know it's hard at the moment, mate, obviously, isn't it? You know, you've had us today, which is very nice, but footballers need to be a bit more careful.
Absolutely, and I would hate for Jordan Henderson to come round to my garden and then all of a sudden he got this deadly virus. Not that I have got it, but I wouldn't like to even be in the frame for it. He's far better than on the pitch. but I'm hopeful that, you know, one day in the not-too-distant future, when hopefully things will settle down, that he will come. I've got the marker pen ready, and I would like him to sign it, which will, you know, this will be here for as long as I'm in this house, and there's no way this house will be getting sold. And I will be able to look out on that, and as I say, hopefully we'll add a few more.
Yeah, no, that'd be brilliant. And in terms of Nivea as well, I gather that they've sort of stayed in touch with you as well, and have sort of helped you out with some tickets recently for Wolves as well.
Absolutely fantastic. You know, I mean, you know, for those who have seen the video, my reaction at the end when Jordan said, we've got some surprises for you, when I look back on it, I just kept going, wow, wow, unbelievable. You know, to get me season tickets when that does settle down, and we get back, all of us together, and I'm going to get a trip. Well, it was to Melwood, but it'll be now the academy. And I've spoken to Lisa from Nivea, who I'd just like to say, by the way, is absolutely, what a wonderful human being she is. She's promised me, she rang me 2 weeks ago. I'd gone in for the ballot for Wolves, was unsuccessful, resigned to watching it on the couch. And I got a call to say, listen, would you like to go? Where the people that we've done surprises for, we're gonna send you. Would you like to go? I just couldn't believe it. So we went. She also said that it wasn't instead of me season tickets and going to the training ground. She said it was on top, and absolutely brilliant. Yeah, it was great going back.
How did you find it?
It was strange. Felt really lucky that I was one of that number that went back to the first time, you know, first game after such a long absence. It wasn't our imagined. I dreamt many nights saying, you know, sing and bring on the champions. And it wasn't how I imagined it. It was strange. Very, very lucky that I did get to go, but it would be a lot better when everyone's back together. Sort of an eerie atmosphere, but as I say, very lucky to have gone.
Yeah. Did you feel it sort of with your dad as well? Because I spoke to you just before we started recording. I lost my dad in March, and we've had season tickets together since we were 10, and he obviously first took me, and my story's very similar to yours, and a lot of fellas and women in this city, that it's your parents who sort of get you into it. And my dad went in March, and then Atletico Madrid was straight after that, and Josh, who I work with, sort of come with me, but then obviously we had a big huge gap, and so I do think about it a lot in terms of what's it going to feel like to go again without me dad. And I went to Spurs, but that was very different anyway, because stood on the cop on your own. But when I'm going back into my seat and it's me dad normally there, and it's not going to be him, I think I'm going to struggle with that.
Yeah, it is hard, John. I mean, I had a couple of games back before the lockdown. Obviously, the last game I went was Atletico Madrid, and it was hard knowing that my dad wasn't there. And I said to, you know, in the video with Jordan, when they sing "You Never Walk Alone," especially on the big games, I always get a lump in my throat when they sing that. I don't care who you are, how hard you are, whatever. It always, when it's sung at Anfield with the cop, there's no better feeling, no better place to be. And I'd look to me right, and I felt my dad was there, and it was strange. I remember when I was a kid, when my dad took me, I couldn't believe that I was actually at Liverpool. I thought, no, this isn't the first team. I always used to think that this isn't the first team. The first team will be playing somewhere else.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought that, but just, this isn't Liverpool. This is phenomenal. And it was strange not him not being there, and you know, to share that with. We'd go together, you know, we'd celebrate together. It was just strange. And the other night at Wolves, I was actually fortunate enough because Nivea had taken me. I was in the main stand and I was looking over to me where my seat was. I wasn't that far away. And I did in the second half, I was like staring over and I thought, you know, that's where me and my dad would be. And, you know, so yeah, it's always going to be like that. And maybe it should be.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Maybe it should be, absolutely. In terms of the whole experience, then I'll just sort of reflect on it because it feels to me that, you know, you've praised Nivea and sort of what they've done for you, but I know that the club were obviously involved in pulling it all together as well. It feels like, I don't know, it feels to me that this sort of thing wouldn't have happened 10 years ago, and it feels like at Liverpool at the moment there's just something special, not just on the pitch, yeah, but throughout the football club, that means, like, you know, I've never felt closer to a manager, to a group of players, and generally, you know, you're nodding in agreement.
Definitely. I think you've hit the nail on the head there, John. When I used to queue up for tickets for the away games and that, there'd be absolute murder in the oh, this is rubbish, one window open, all this. We've moved definitely in the right direction. You know, the girls at Liverpool, there was a couple there that really went out the way, Carly being one, really went out the way to help me. When they rang me, I didn't realise that I'd never spoke to before in my life, and I started telling a bit about the story, and she got a bit upset, and I didn't mean that to happen, but
yeah,
it was just the way it did happen. And she's been back in touch with me since, and they've just been amazing. I mean, even the ballot the other day, I was having problems entering the ballot, and a girl rang me from home. You know, it's a lot more different where you used to be on the phone for ages, you can't get through. So yeah, Liverpool, definitely, as you said, you know, the players, the manager, the staff, brilliant sponsor in Nivea. We're lucky, really. And as you said about what happened afterwards, I feel really lucky. You know, some people may look at it and go, well, you know, you had a bit of a bad time. Yeah, I did have a bad time, and you know, but everyone has a bad time, and that's how I try and look at it, put things in perspective. There's always worse things that happen to other people, or can happen to other people, and I do feel lucky that, you know, these sort of things do happen to others. But I was picked out, I was selected for this, and when I got that phone call on that Good Friday, yeah, I was struggling. It was the week of my dad's inquest, and it was a particularly hard week, and I just, that call made everything. And I said to Lisa the other night when she rung me, I said, you'll never know what a difference to me that made. And it doesn't happen to everyone. And I know that I've been very, very fortunate in respect to that. So, you know, I can't thank Liverpool, Nivea, Jordan, obviously, enough. My sister, my wife.
I don't think anyone who listens to this would say you didn't deserve it, mate. And it's incredible because I always say that Liverpool Football Club's there for you when you need it the most. And but when I say that, I think, well, you know, there's times where you're bouncing up to the game and you've had a bad day or a bad week and you think, oh, I really need the boys to win for me today. Yeah. It always feels like they do. They always feels like they win for you when you really need it. I mean, for you, Liverpool Football Club is really... Yeah. I mean, that's such an, you know, even more obvious example than I've ever said, when it was really there for you when you needed it the most. Yeah. And you'll never forget that, will you?
No, definitely not. I've always said, no matter what's going on in your life, this is how I look at it, and I think I said this in the video. Whenever things aren't so good, for that 90 minutes, I just, like many other people probably as well, you just get immersed in the game. You just put any problems, any issues you've got to the back of your mind for that 90 minutes.
Yeah.
There's nothing for me. There's absolutely nothing better than going the match. You know, I've been going now. I think my first game was 78. So I've been going 42 years, for only up until the last 12 months, that's been with my dad. So yeah, it's a special club, and as I say, I feel really lucky.
I feel fortunate to have had this time with you, Dave, so thanks so much for having us in your garden. Thanks for showing us this mural. It's absolutely brilliant, and hopefully, as you say, we'll have to add to it a little bit. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm sure you can think of something.
I'll think of something. Thanks a lot, John. Appreciate it. Thank you. Podcast Network.